You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any announcements? Now we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon: a wise man maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasuries of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, the temperature cooled down a lot now, and we like that a little bit, but we don't like to see too much freezing stuff and ice on the roads. But I like a little bit of coolness, and the change in the seasons is great. It's a part of the joy of seeing things change, and with the change comes revitalization and hope for the future. Now, we're in the book of Proverbs, and as I've been reading through a lot of that's in here, I've refreshed my soul with all sorts of different things that relate to practical applications, but also applications that relate to our own calling. And I want to refresh our minds about some of these things as we start up this morning. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together, Lord, as we open up the scriptures. We ask your guidance in all these things. Pray for the country, especially at this time, that we see leaders mindful of the scriptures at a time when we really need great leaders. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're in this whole study of wisdom, and there's just so much great material in here to look at. And as we go through, we're mindful of the tremendous structure that's in here. And we're really leaving this particular structure, which runs right through to the end of chapter 9. And you get this interchange between the call of Lady Wisdom, Chokhmah, calling especially those that are in charge, those that have got responsibility, the prince, the people who have positions of responsibility that need especially the call of wisdom. And then the interchange there with the foreign woman, the strange woman, and how that she has her own kind of wisdom and very effective at what she's doing. And last time we were looking at this whole matter of wisdom, and that she builds. And if you think about really strong, well-grounded wisdom, there is an edification that comes. And so it is in this age also. There is a tremendous building that's going on. And we need to understand what that building is. And we understand that by putting into place the principles of right division. And so you'll see that right here, the seven pillars that are created as the final production of this building that's made. And we see that meaning completion, wonderful completion. And when we come to the absolute pinnacle of the revelation of the mystery given to us, we find that in the book of Ephesians. And so much of what we find written there is based around the number seven. And with this comes a notion which is basically embodied in this Greek word, koinonia, which is the word for fellowship. Fellowship, the language, the common language, koine, common language. That's what was common in the time when the New Testament was written, so the New Testament was written in the Koine Greek language. And so there's something in common that people held, which was that particular form of language. And so at the heart of the fellowship is something which is in common. And if you look at the wonderful discussion that's made here about the Lady Wisdom's call, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table, she hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city, calling her into this great banquet, you see. And this banquet is made on the basis of wisdom put into place and a building created. And then at this building is this great banquet. And so you find at the heart of a banquet is this idea of fellowship. And if you go through the scriptures and look into the New Testament, you see something parallel made, you know, like in Matthew 22, where you see the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, calling them in to this wonderful wedding around which is this great fellowship and feast. And the advances done is rejected. And so in verse 5, but they made light of it and went their ways, and one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. What a terrible sound that has to it. They weren't worthy. But I want you to see that the purpose of God are not thwarted by people's arrogance and their moving against God's plan. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Bid to the marriage. Bring them in, man. God's purposes are going to be fulfilled. They will be fulfilled. And around these purposes, there is fellowship, wonderful fellowship, where people have something in common. And that thing which is in common is to be brought to the surface. And there's to be joy around it, right? So, we can find, of course, many applications of this idea of the fellowship in an age gone by. For example, in the age that's gone by, in the book of Acts, here you have the communion, which is this idea of something in fellowship, right? The bread and the wine, which is mentioned in Proverbs 9. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communion, what is that? Something in common. It's the fellowship, right? The basis there for that particular hope under the terms of the new covenant, right? All there. And similarly here, this do in remembrance of me, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Contextualized and put right in its correct place, that's talking about this great fellowship around the work of Christ in terms of the New Covenant. Now, what about our particular calling, our calling in this time? And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. There it is. There is the rejoicing that we have, the great fellowship, the thing that we have in common. Now, unfortunately, that thing which we have in common is still a secret to many people, to many Christians. It's still a secret. And I think that's a shame. It means, of course, that we need to be more vocal and careful. So we went through a lot of things about the end of this clamorous woman, which is death. Now today what we're going to do is I want to just remind you about some of the issues that come up in the book of Proverbs and in the Psalms, which relates to wisdom and how wisdom has its seasons. In Psalm 55:15, let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. You'll see a lot of the Psalms of David especially imprecatory. That is, where he wishes calamity. He wishes and he gives curse on the enemies, right? And I've given some lists of some of the other psalms where you can find similar imprecatory psalms which give curses on the enemies. And if you were to go through the New Testament and look for this expression, but I say, it's really marked. Do it when you've got some spare moments. Do a search through your New Testament for the phrase, but I say, and bam, you come across these expressions and statements by the Lord Jesus where he gives what has been said and then he says, but I say unto you. Here's an example here. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Right? And hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now remember that these statements were given in the context of the coming kingdom and the wonderful impartation of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, giving them all kinds of protection as well. And even in the face of damage coming to them, great consolation in the presence of the Spirit of God. But you can't help but see that wisdom has its seasons. And wisdom comes forth out of the mouths of inspired apostles, and in this case the Lord Jesus Christ, giving you further explanation of things which were dark, things which were not clear, things which were there but hidden, and he brings them forth. He brings them out and clarifies them. And similarly, you'll find Paul doing similarly, where he, for example, just look at this passage with me. This is in the book of Romans, chapter number 12. I just needed to say this because as we go through this, we're going to see some of these ideas of wisdom in this season. And we, as Christians, we need to understand the deeper things of the law, the weightier matters of the law. So in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, it says this: recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Right? That's really an interesting passage there. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And it says, if it be possible... That brings a smile to my face too. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, if there's a condition. There is a condition there. Paul is not saying that there's not a time for war. In fact, we know there is a time for war. There is a time for war. There is a time for peace. Right? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. The idea is to bring him to repentance. The idea is through your actions to change this person. If all you do in your life is just smack them down, when you get smacked, smack back harder. You know, if that's all you're going to do, you're not going to change anybody, but rather get them to think they've got to do the same. Whoever is going to win is the strongest, and I'm going to be stronger, and I'm going to act stronger, and then there's just war after war after war. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Christianity is something different, friends. The biblical Christianity is based upon something much deeper and more true than anything else. And so other religions will have some truths in them, right? But they don't get to the real heart of how it's possible that we, in our hearts, can change. And it goes back to that thing which is the fellowship, the basis of the fellowship, which is the work of Christ. It's just fantastic. I'm so fortunate to have been raised in a Christian home. And talking about that, let me show you. Right in the book of Proverbs, we've read this. This is something's been brought to my attention. Look at this. Proverbs 6 with me. Go back to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Now I'm thinking about my parents. You can think about yours. And forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. And tie them about thy neck. Now look at verse 22. And notice what it says. These three aspects are brought out. Lead, keep, and talk. Lead, keep, and talk. Here it comes, verse 22. When thou goest, that's the commandment and the law, they're both feminine, it shall lead thee. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. That's that commandment and the law of the mother. When thou sleepest, that's that law and the commandment, shall keep thee, guard thee, you see, keeping you. That's when you go to sleep. You know, when I think about it, that's a reality in my life. And I go to sleep at nights, and my mind goes back to all sorts of things in the past. I see my mother. I see my father. I hear the voice. I hear them. They're clear as a bell. And when thou awakest, okay, so you go through your day, and they're leading you at night, and they're guarding you, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. The first thing in the morning. Sometimes in the morning, I'll be honest with you, sometimes in the morning I wake up and I have to remind myself where I am. Sometimes. Where am I? Yeah, that's right. And a quick history goes through in my mind. A quick history. And I remember these things. Now, it goes on in verse 24, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Beautiful, man. How important are parents? You know, some kids don't have them. I mean, they literally have them in a technical sense. But in terms of what's around them, they have no memory of parents that have given them instruction and guided them. And that's what happens as a country gets further and further away from the biblical God, the true God of the Bible. As a country goes away from that and moves into strange and pagan philosophies and atheistic philosophies, so they lose the connection with the family. Good example is communism. Communism, what an awful thing communism is. In chapter 10, here we are in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. Notice it begins with Solomon, the Proverbs. Well, don't you find this kind of interesting? It starts here with Proverbs. I thought the whole book of Proverbs is by Solomon. This is another reminder that, yes, there are Proverbs of Solomon in here, but there's also the words of the wise. You go back to chapter 1, just look at this with me very quickly, just to remind you about this, right? To understand what's the nature of the book that we are studying here. It's the Word of God, I can tell you that. I believe that completely. It is the Word of God. But the way that it's constructed tells you that these Proverbs are not all those of Solomon. In verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And then it gives you some of his Proverbs. And then very quickly it goes on and it says this, verse 6, the last half, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. And when it says the dark sayings, it doesn't mean that they're bad sayings. It means that these things are deep. That's like still waters. They run deep, right? You've got to watch water. So many people have come to grief in water. And people who are used to swimming, for example, on the coast, right? Salt water. They're used to salt water. They understand the issues about undertow. They're used to that. And then they go from that experience and they'll go to a lake or a river. And they think it's the same. And it's not the same. There are other dangers that they're not used to. And they'll get caught in situations in still waters, for example. Anyway, I just want to point that out to you, just to remind you that, yes, we've got evidence here that Solomon now is speaking. Now, here is the structure that Bullinger put together in his companion Bible. And so you can see that now we're into this section B and this C subsection. We have got chapter 10, verse 1, Proverbs by Solomon for all. Now, previously we had instruction that was given to specific individuals that had a certain class or status in society where they were to be trained as leaders. Now what we're having are interesting proverbs which are coming from Solomon himself, where you see the third person is emphasized, he, his, him, they, them, and for all. Coming down further, a little bit more of a breakdown on the structure in chapter 10, verse 1 to 15, 33, the pious and the ungodly with reference to others and their lots in life. And then chapter 16, 1 to 19, the pious and the ungodly with reference to God, their life and character. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to just keep reading on here, but we want to remind ourselves of the structure and understand that when we come to Proverbs 10, we are now getting into an area where there's much more generality in application, much more general in its application. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. These are also proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. And, you know, there's a really interesting note. If you've got a companion Bible, Bullinger goes through the fact that these scribes, these special copiers, had a sort of like an insignia that had Hezekiah's name on it. And these were specially endowed with this responsibility to put together the wisdom literature. Okay, it's kind of interesting. And so as we get into verse 2, it says, the treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness delivereth from death. Now, that's a general statement, and we can all learn from it. And many people in this life, all they want to do is make money, make wealth, and many times they move to ways which are easy. And that's usually the easy way is going to be involving some form of wickedness. It's going to be a bad result. It says profit nothing. Profit nothing. Now, there may be some temporary financial gain. There may be a way in for some quick buck. But the end thereof is the ends of death, ways of death. Profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. So, and I've seen this by many American people, men and women. I've noticed this. And it's a Christian character where they will, in all things, attempt to take a righteous stand, even at their own cost. Something funny happened to us when we were checking out recently. We were buying some food. And we just noticed, as it was being rung up, that the person rung up something as one thing, but in fact the thing that I was buying was different. So they attributed the thing I was buying as one thing, which was actually at a cheaper rate, than the thing that actually was. It would have been financially a nice thing to just say, well, actually, let's just leave it and I'll profit out of this little mistake that he's made. But the truth of the matter is, We need to be straight in all things, and everyone benefits, and it's the way of life, right? It's righteousness. But righteousness delivereth from death. See, that's the sad thing, isn't it? In the end, there is death. And in the general sense and in a particular sense. Righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Isn't that an interesting statement? And as it's applied, especially to Israel, you see that the truth. And when you find that when people are involved with the ministry to Israel, that this kind of truth of wisdom in practice happened, that things that they need would be supplied in a miraculous way. When the Lord's disciples went out, don't worry about script, don't worry about anything on your feet, I'll supply. And what happened? Everything was supplied, man. The food, the clothing, their footwear wouldn't wear out. There's a literalness to this. There's a generality that we can bear from it too in an ultimate sense. But there's, remember, these things are written to the nation of Israel. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Oh, man. People taking advantage. Taking advantage. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. The diligent, the person that is honest and truthful and with correct measures of weight, etc., in the way that they carry out business, God would honor that. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. You know, a lot of things that people do in this life are basically what feathers their own nest and makes them comfortable. But sometimes you've got to be uncomfortable and do the thing that's going to help the family for the future, right? In the future. Sometimes you got to think about the winter during this beautiful weather of the summer. Everything looks good. Yeah, but there's bad stuff coming. And a wise person will prepare for it and will get out. What's the saying? You make hay when the sun shines, right? And that is so true, isn't it? It's true. It's a true saying because it's based upon wisdom, which we know is practical. And it says, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now, how do you interpret that? But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The trouble is, you see, the wicked will want to cover what happened in their violent ways. Their mouth will shut up because of the violence they've committed. It covers their mouth. Blessings upon the head of the just. But contrarywise, those that are involved with this practical wickedness, you know, they can't talk. They can't talk about it. They can't talk about their history. And if they do talk about their history, they've got to lie and lie and lie. You notice the practice of lying is just like that, isn't it? One lie has to be said to cover another lie and another lie and another lie. Don't you get sick of that? Don't you get sick of that idea of just lying your way through life? Blessings upon the head of the just, but violence cover the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now, it's about memory. It's about history. It's about a record of what's been done by you. Right? The memory of the just is blessed. Oh, that's, isn't it great to be able to look back on a past life and say, yeah, at least I did that. Yes, I did that. Yes, there's some stuff like that. Here's the thing that we need to teach our kids. There are things that you can do bad and do wrong in life, and it's bad and it's wrong, but it's not going to leave the same kind of scar tissue as if you do that. Right? And there are certain things that people have got to understand that that's a no-go zone, boy. And if you go down that place, if you go down that lane, your memory is going to be ruined. And you'll never get out of that bad memory. Look at this. The memory of the just is blessed. Oh, man. Good choices. How do the good choices come about? Well, you make them. Don't try and blame someone else all the time. You make your choices. And we got another saying for that, haven't we? You make your own bed, you got to sleep in it. Right? Or something like that. But the name of the wicked shall rot. Rot, man. Now the words here for rot have to do with the smell of mold. The smell of mold. Have you smelt mold? It gets at you after a while, man. In the law, the priest had the job of checking homes. And mold obviously was a big deal to them. It should be to us too, I believe. Mold in a home is no good. It's no good. And the priest had to come along and say, yeah, it's the mold's gone. You can come in. Well, once the name has been destroyed, you know, here's another thing. The pastors, it happens to pastors too. And then the name of a certain pastor may be mud. And once it becomes mud, it's so difficult for that person to continue in the ministry. It's so difficult. And here's the other problem too, which you've got to face up to. That a person can be falsely accused. Falsely accused of something. And their name is then publicly destroyed. And even if they are innocent, or even proclaimed in the legal sense innocent, what has been said somehow stays with them. You want to keep your name, man. And the children, when we raise our children, we need to tell them about this. Your name is important. Where you go, what you say, your name will be imputed in these things. And stays with you. The wise in heart will receive commandments, will receive them. But a prating fool shall fall. What does it mean to prat? It just means to speak on and on with false goods. A prating fool, foolishly, you know, speaking on and on foolishly, shall fall. Good advice here, man. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. Again, confidence. Your name is good. Your name is going to keep good. And you begin confident in what you say. You can look a person in the eyes and say, look, you can give them some advice. It's hard to give someone some advice when you are a hypocrite. Now, we are all hypocrites to some degree because of our fallen nature. But as I said, there are places where we can stop ourselves from going, right? And if we can stop ourselves from going there, we can maintain a testimony and we can maintain our advice giving. We can't give advice if we are just full of shame ourselves. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, surely. But he that perverteth his ways shall be known. It becomes common knowledge. You destroy your testimony. Now, some people have had a bad testimony, and then they come right. You know, Samson really blew it, didn't he? Man, you think about Samson. Man, he just absolutely blew it. But in the end, what do you say of Samson? He gives up his life, and he uses his strength in a way that brings down the temple, and he dies in it. Some people have to do that, don't they? They have to get back their testimony by giving their life. It seems to be the only way. I can give you lots of examples of this, but we won't get through many verses here. In fact, we're just about out of time now. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, winketh. This goes back to Proverbs 6 again, where you see people making gestures with their eyes and their body, and they're empty in these things. But a prating fool shall fall. See, they're making discussion, right? He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. In other words, it escalates. You start off with the winking eye, and then you end up as a prating fool. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Oh man, we had to get to this verse. Isn't that true? The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Testimony known to be a righteous man. And when he speaks, people will listen. They're going to listen. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife. But love covereth all sins. Have you seen a wise man full of love? It is a beautiful thing. And it's many times, and people are getting a little bit older in years. They've seen some things, right? They've come through some difficulties, and they've come out the other end, and they've been instructed from the Scriptures, and they have this wisdom. And man, for me, I'll just be honest with you, I could just sit back and listen all day. I can listen to those sort of people all day long. I can listen and be instructed. Well, we're getting out of time here, but can you see we can just read through these Proverbs? It's just endless, the wisdom that's in here. There's practical instruction, and I think that all newlywed couples, they need to get into this book. They need to take it seriously and think about their purpose in life as parents and how they can influence their children in the right way. Can't beat it. Can't beat this. This is fantastic stuff. Let us pray. God and Father, we thank Thee for all the wisdom that You've preserved for us. We thank Thee that it's not only inspired in the original documents, but Lord, that it's been kept and it's inspired today, and we can read it with confidence in our own language. We thank Thee, our Father, for the testimony of good men and women through the years who have given good examples of parents, many of whom would stand by the stuff and give their own lives for their children to protect them. And we pray, Lord, especially at this time, for wisdom for our leaders here, that they would come to read the Scriptures and take them seriously, Lord, and that they'll be able to call a spade a spade. And Lord, if there is, for example, a change in president, Lord, if we see Trump to become president, Lord, we pray that he would find this wisdom. And if he's not saved, Lord, that Your Spirit would move in his life and that he would come to know the Lord as Savior. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.